Welcome to the SBCN podcast, a production of the Small Business Community Network, brought to you by Brad Poulos, small business coach, entrepreneurship professor, and author of the Small Business Operator's Manual, a guide to running your small business profitably.
Hello everyone, it's Linda Ockwell, Jenna here again with the SBCN Small Biz Podcast Series. And if you remember, we are asking our expert business owners who are members of the SBCN to come along once a month, once every 2 months, and share some valuable tips with you. And I know you're enjoying them already. So today I have a lovely person who sometimes lives in America, sometimes lives in Ontario, Canada. Very, very successful guy, got a wonderful story. So it's Glenn Poulos, and he's the president of Prague, USA. Did I get that right? I said it very slowly.
Yep, that's right. I'm
tripping over my tongue today. So again, thank you for your time, and we're always excited to see what you've got to share with the small business, the middle businesses, the top businesses. So basically, I'm hoping you're keeping well.
I am doing really well, and thanks so much, Linda, for having me today. It's great to be here on this. I'm actually in Canada today, even though my business is in Orlando. I wish, for weather-wise, I was there, but I'm home visiting family. It's kind of a gray, muggy, rainy day today. So,
we can work all over the world, can't we, today with the virtual?
We can indeed, yeah.
So, they've got a wonderful topic. Oh, thank you so much. You've got a wonderful topic for us today.
Yep. Yeah. Sort of like, you know, sort of four things on how to sort of grow your business or how to focus on your small business. And, you know, small businesses are just big businesses in the making, right? I mean, you know, you never know when large scaling opportunities can come along. And, you know, one of my favorite sayings is, you know, you only get forever to make another impression, right? You may make the right impression on someone that can really change the trajectory of your business, no matter how big or small. So, you know, whether you're a local printer, you know, you could easily, you know, maybe get a national contract for printing, you know, by visiting a manufacturer in your area that you, you know, that you didn't really think about, right? You know, kind of thing. So, yeah. So the first thing I always, you know, tell people, large or small, doesn't matter, you know, these are universal principles, right? Is that showing up creates opportunity, right? And you know, and showing up also is like, it's a, once you're there, you know, it's a lot better than doing it remotely anyways, right? People are often averse to it, but when they get there, that's the best part of their day, you know, is talking to their clients and their customers. And they're like, why did I wait so long to, you know, make this call or whatever, right? I should have been here a month ago or whatever, right? But, you know, I don't want to be too generalization, but I mean, I feel like a lot of small businesses rely too much on email, and messages, right, to try to get the stuff across. So and when you show up in person, that's when things change. That's when I think the magic happens and you can really see how the business works, right? And I call it getting behind the curtain of the Wizard of Oz, right? And, you know, who's pulling the strings, right? And what's going out the back door, what's coming in the back door, you know, and how they work. And because you might, you know, have been dealing with them over the phone or remotely or in some way, shape or form. And then you get there and they take you into the back and show you their business. And you realize that your biggest competitor is actually getting 95% of their business. And you didn't realize it. You know, they're all wearing IBM underwear and t-shirts and coffee mugs and mouse pads, right? And I'm just using IBM as a generic name, you know, but I mean, and you didn't realize that they were such a large sort of consumer of what you do.
That's
or
funny.
Maybe other parts of your business, right? And you know, IBM underwear, it's very comfortable, right?
How do you know what underwear they wear?
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask. But, so you must have some then. You must have some.
Yeah, for sure. From time to time, but you know, if you've ever been on Instagram lately, we're all getting familiar with man-made underwear, right?
Which is the new
Right. And it's not cheap, but you know, my wife ended up buying me, I said, look, buy me a 3-pack. And, you know, I think it was Christmas or something before we go all in just to see what it's like. And I realized, you know, after years of going, I think it was the, I used to go to the Calvin Klein store, right? Yeah. Major brand, global brand, whatever. Yeah. And I would always buy their 3-packs and, you know, and that was what I wore, you know, day in and day out. But this man-made stuff, and I'm not trying to be funny. I mean, this man-made stuff is super comfortable. It is.
That's good to know. And also, when we watch a TV commercial or we watch something on Facebook, sometimes we think to ourselves, well, you know, it's a brand. Is it any good? But the fact that you've actually chosen, and lots of other people, because now they're making men's trousers as well, the fact that we are both into the brand, obviously for Dave, my husband, and we like the brand, that's good for the brand. But also, I wonder what they're doing different to make us go that second step, because I you've brought up a good topic, actually. I love this one. When people on LinkedIn in particular, it is like being on the TV commercial or on the radio, isn't it, if you think about it? And they try and sell, but they don't know the right way to do it. So did you say you found man-made on the TV or on social media?
I found them on social media. And that, you know, and so like I said in my first part, was showing up creates the opportunity, right? And that's where you find problems you can solve. But then the second part of my little 4-pack is that relationships beat transactions, right? And, you know, I think there's 4 guys that own man-made or something like that, if memory serves me correctly. And they,
I don't know.
You know, They try to win by developing trust, right? And so these very relatable guys, have relatable videos and scenarios on their socials and their advertising media that they use, whatever it is.
And they're reaching us, aren't they? They're reaching us. They're touching us, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah. And
so how do they do that? I mean, what is it about them that you think draws us to them? I know you said they're relatable, but why are they more relatable than, say, you know, another business that is not getting so much traction, do you think?
I think because they're you know, the content is presented in a way that's more down to earth and real world than Calvin Klein models or something, you know,
that makes a lot of sense. That was a really good thought. Yeah, that was great. Yeah, I love that. Because people think turning up on social media is easy. And then they say to you or me probably, well, why am I being ignored? Why is nobody taking any notice? That is one of your
right. And the other thing is, you know, and I don't want your audience to think that I'm applying for a job as the VP of sales at Man-Made Underwear, but if memory serves me correctly, you know, like, customers remember who helps solve problems and stay involved after the sale. And a lot of what they do is, like, they talk about the comfort and not slipping down and, you know, like sliding down and other things like that. Right. And I don't remember their entire shtick. But I mean, they're solving real world problems in men's clothing, right? Yeah. And there's other guys that are doing the t-shirts, and they're, you know, they kind of like hide the man gut and all that, and give you a more refined look in a plain t-shirt, right? And which can sometimes be unbecoming, and that is a real world problem, right?
Like, it is, and showing us how to solve it on social media. They're not just trying to sell, here's a t-shirt, here's some underwear. They are actually interacting with us. That's a wonderful point. I love it, because I will look more at their social media now. I watch them on the TV, and I nudge Dave and go, Dave, you know, because it's women like to be comfortable. Why shouldn't men be comfortable? That's a really great way to go.
Yeah.
And I know you don't want to be the CEO of their company because you've got your own company.
Yeah. Although they're doing pretty good. So they're doing pretty good. I don't know. Maybe I should apply for the job. Just kidding.
And, that is so funny.
Yeah. So then the third thing, super important, is you have to protect your margins, right? Yeah. And so, you know, and again, I mean, we're on a theme, right? If you've ever seen those ads, you realize that, I don't know, I think the 3-pack might be like $55 or something like that. Like, that is not cheap, right?
No.
And they don't apologize for it. So and so what they're saying is, you know, you can find cheaper products out there, but, you know, you'll have to go back and buy them again later, right? And so they want to deliver the non-slip, super comfortable, you know, appealing product, but they don't apologize for the price, right? No. And nowhere in their messaging are they talking about being the valued one or whatever. And and honestly, I mean, there is a little bit of sticker shock when you look at, you know, if you're at Walmart or something, or Target US, like you can find $9.99 pairs of underwear, right?
Yeah, but, yeah.
But it, so $55 kind of strikes you. But when you realize the lifespan of it and the comfort and the quality and the durability, you know, and with that product pricing becomes better margins, and with better margins become the ability for you to provide better service. Right.
There you
and
go. So,
you know, revenue can be exciting, but margin is what keeps the lights on. Right. And my brother, who you know well, right.
Yeah.
He says, if there isn't any margin, there isn't a company. Right.
That's true.
And so many people are like, oh, well, I'm going to get this order because it's going to keep my machines busy. You know, like maybe you get a printing deal and it's for, you know, you're doing it at like a penny above cost or whatever. And you're arguing with your partner. And they're like, oh, wow, it's a big deal. And it's going to keep everybody employed. And, you know, but those are not good deals. And they often chase deals, small businesses, to win the order. And that can be really dangerous. And I mean, I speak from direct and painful experience, right? every sale needs to have enough margin to support the business.
Exactly.
And pay for the people, the service, and the growth that it's related to.
That's right? Another really
good
point.
No loss leaders or anything like that, right?
Yeah. You've also identified another really great point. So in my case, I'm just wearing regular clothes today. But for my business as a motivational speaker, you'll probably see me in the same certain uniform, a lot of pink clothes, which cost a lot of money, but they have lasted for many years. And people don't remember that I've worn them before, really, and reuse them. So that gives me a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? It gives me a lot of value for money. I know I look nice in the clothes. They are made really well. And basically, that's what we were talking about, not just with the underwear, but with any service.
You're sure that the paparazzi didn't notice that you were on the red carpet last year wearing it?
Oh, you are sweet. You are so sweet. But basically, no. I mean, we notice things like, say, Princess Kate, if she wears a dress in 2009, right. You know, and I think that's wonderful that she's saving money and she's, you know, I think she's got a lot of money. But now my point really is basically, I think a lot of smaller businesses and maybe all businesses, you would know that better than me, if they are chasing the one order, they're not really looking forward. They're only looking in the here and now. And we have to plan ahead. We can't just plan for. And I think that's a mistake that you may have made in the past and myself, but we don't make it now. So that's another good point, the margin. I love that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the fourth one is, you know, you want to be always bringing value to the conversation, you know, so every meeting should try to help the customer in some way, right? Bringing them an idea. In the book, I say something in your hand and something in your mind, right?
Yeah.
So if you're visiting, you often want to bring them something and tell them something, right? And it's only through, you know, where I was saying, going back to number one, which is showing up creates opportunity. That's where you realize how you can really help them, because you realize how they, and I can't say this enough, like how they make their money. And a lot of companies, you know, mistake the way companies make money. And I often give the example of Xerox, right? Which is a very big company, but the point is valid and can be, you know, you can transpose it into other areas, which is most people think Xerox is like a photocopier company, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But really, that's not what they are. They're actually a bank, right?
Oh.
Like they make their money leasing you photocopiers, and they're not even leasing them. They sell them to you at 4 cents a page, right?
That's
like interesting. They say, what is your volume of printing that you do? Is it color or black and white? How many are you doing? Is it 1,000 a month or 100,000 a month, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you need sorting and collating thing? And okay, we'll do it for 3 cents a page, right? The machines will never be broken. If they break down, our machine will tell us it's broken. Our technician will show up. We'll either fix it or replace it on the spot. And you just keep paying 3 cents a page. And for them, it's a financial thing. It's got nothing to do with, and most people don't really care whether or not there's a color display on the photocopier or this, that, or the other thing, right? It's, and so for Xerox, appealing to them as a hardware company, in a lot of cases, you're not appealing to them in the right way. You should be appealing to them as a financial services company, right? A bank, in a way, right?
That is interesting.
They make their money off of the, they make their money not selling photocopiers. They make their money like leasing you products, when leasing is a financial instrument, not a manufacturing, you know. Now, yes, they make the products and everything, but I just want to, you know,
it's, you really know,
bring the point.
Point
across, right? And so you want to make sure that you're appealing to them in a way that generates more money for them in the way that they make their money. And you can only figure that out by showing up, right? And that's how you can bring value to the conversation, you know. So you bring,
I understand that about showing up, but some of the smaller businesses do have global clients.
Right.
So if they can't show up to the global clients, but they can show up to the local clients, what can they do with probably a Zoom call to actually be present and to be more about finding out, you know, more about their client than trying to sell more to them? It's very difficult on Zoom, right? Isn't it, really?
Yeah. Yes, it is. And so if it's unavoidable, it's unavoidable. And so I'm just saying at the default is like, if you can visit them, go.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? But if they're in Vancouver and you're in Waterloo, obviously, you know, you're not going to fly to Vancouver for $1,000 sale. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just not a pro. It's not, not going to happen.
No.
So if you have to do it by Zoom, then you have to have your best Zoom face on. And then that's where I caution people about making sure you're doing a powerful pitch, right? And I have on my website, I have this thing called the Punch Perfect Pitch and Close, right? Anyone can download it for free. And it's how you build a presentation to appeal to people in a way that'll keep them engaged and not falling asleep on Zoom while you're trying to sell to them, right?
Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah. And so, and the why do you call it the Punch Perfect Pitch? Is basically, again, like calling on my little three pack here of what I talked about, you know, which is showing up, relationships, margins, etc. You want to figure out, like, why are they engaging with you? Like, what exactly is it about your particular product or service? Because you might have three or four hot buttons, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you might solve this problem, this one, and this one, right? And oftentimes when you go in, you want to list them all and be proud of it and brag about it, right? But maybe the one they need's the fourth one. And by the time you get there, they're already asleep and thinking about the shopping list to go at home.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. And so before you get them on Zoom, you want to make sure you've researched that company and you're saying, you know what, it's not the quality or the color or the size, it's the speed with which we can deliver, you know, and something like that, right? And so then what you want to do is that you will want to start your presentation by showing them something where someone else is achieving the exact result and feeling that they're going to feel when they get the speed that you're going to offer. And don't even talk about the other things, and don't tell them that you've got three offices and, you know, Kitchener, Waterloo, and Cambridge, and you started in 1973 business, and you know, passed on from father to son, and you know, like, by then they're zoomed out.
That's a really good tip. It really is. But also, I believe in the research. I've got to tell you, one of the worst things people do on social media, LinkedIn in particular, is to not research us. And I can be a really mean, nice person. So basically, it's rather insulting to tell someone like you and I, we can turn you into an author. We can help you write books.
Yes,
So when somebody come private with me and said that, I said, have you researched me? And they go, no. And I go, for the tip for the next person, because you've lost me, I'm not going to be your client. You've lost me, because you're in a way insulting me, because you have no idea who you're selling to. So that's why I'd point them in the right direction. That's why if we can turn up in person, whether it's to the office, to the warehouse, to a party, to networking, coffee meeting, if it has to be Zoom, try and make it as real as possible. I think that's the message I've gotten from you. Don't turn it into a sales pitch, but research first, even for Zoom, because we're trying to sell to somebody and we don't even know them. And this is why I picked on you, and I know you're busy, to be our expert in this kind of, you know, tips and ideas. You've been there, you've done it, and you've admitted you've sold businesses, you've made mistakes, you're a human.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Why not, you know, get as much information off you to share with our people? Because why reinvent the wheel?
Yeah.
Why reinvent the wheel, you know?
Exactly.
We don't need to do
exactly.
So what is your, if you can tell us your website where they can pick up, download the Zoom, Zoom. What is it called again?
The guide. Punch, Perfect, Pitch, and Close. Yeah.
Thank you. And then we'll pop it on the website too.
It's glennpoulos.com. So just mynamepoulos.com.
And they can just take it and use it.
Yeah, they can just download it. No charge. And feel free to use it. And the perfect pitch part of it really is the concept of the Goldilocks principle, right? And the Goldilocks principle, you know, is everything is served better in threes, right? So small, medium, large, good, better, best, right?
I love that.
And and that the brain thinks naturally in threes quite, and that's why often marketers appeal to you in that way. So once you've punched them, and the punch is basically showing them, you know, your product. Remember we said out of the four things, speed was the most important. You show them an example of another company, you know, that's not a competitive to them, getting the result they need of the speed. And then they're like, wow, that's exactly what we need. Oh my God. And then you go through a three start. You tell them what you're going to tell them. You tell them, and then you tell them what you told them. Goldilocks, right? You tell them three things, not two, not four. If two's not enough, four's too many. And you sort of, and you dive into it. You skip all the other color commentary about all the other features and stuff, right? And focus in. And at the end, the punch, perfect pitch. Now that's done. The close is them saying, well, how long does it take to get on board, or what's it cost? Or because they close themselves at that point.
Oh, yeah.
And if they haven't done that, then you didn't do it right. And you kind of have to go back and look at how you've presented it, and maybe start over in some cases.
You are amazing.
And,
you know, the three thing, that's really interesting, because when I was a very, very new motivational speaker and didn't know anything, somebody told me that you tell them what you want to tell them three times.
Right.
In this case, it could be slightly different, but you're sharing the same message. So I didn't realize that was what you were getting at, and it's a really, really good tip. All I can do is thank you from afar, even if you are closer to us today, and say I cannot ever say thank you enough for your support and your community. You know, you've got a great community around you, and you joined our community, and you keep wowing me and everybody who talks. Just a thank you again for your time, and travel safe when you go back to America.
All right. Thanks, Linda. Great to be here.
Thank you so much.